Have you considered how you speak to others? Hello, I'm Phil Sanders, and this is a Bible study in search of the Lord's way. Today, we're considering how a Christian should speak words that build up. So stay tuned.
In all the hurry and hustle and confusion of modern living, the Lord has the way. We believe that the Bible is the revelation of His way. We invite you to join us in search of the Lord's way with Phil Sanders.
Welcome to In Search of the Lord's Way. We're here to search the Scriptures for God's will. God's will is practical, loving, and worthwhile. When we fail to hear God, we fail to learn the good and honorable ways. Every command of God is always for our good, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24. God gives us His wisdom so that we may lead lives of joy and harmony. He leads us away from what will destroy and hurt us. We must listen. Thanks for taking time with us today. We'd love to hear from you, and we want to be a part of your life each week. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 6:45, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from the abundance of his heart." Paul urged Timothy to be an example of a believer in speech in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. "Now your words reflect what is in your heart. If your words are harsh and evil, then it shows a negative and evil heart. If your words are kind and good, then it shows a kind and good heart." How we use our tongues matters to God and to others. No one likes to hear outbursts of anger, habitual complaining, needless worry, ceaseless fault-finding, unfair judging, gossip, or mean-spirited slander. These activities aren't the way of the person who seeks to follow Christ. Harmful and destructive speech can become a frequent habit. David said in Psalm 140, verses 1 to 3, "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from the violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips." Let's consider how we speak, because God is listening. Now, we offer this study on our words free. If you'd like a printed copy and live in the United States, mail your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv at searchtv.org, or call our toll-free telephone number. That number is 1-800-321-8633. We have many free programs and materials on our website, searchtv.org, and you can also see us on YouTube anytime. We'll now worship in song, read from Philippians 4:8-9, and examine how we can bless everyone by the proper use of our words. Our reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and they discuss how we should think and what we let our minds dwell on, because that's where our words come from. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your guidance so that we may know how to live and how to think and how to deal with one another. Help us, Heavenly Father, to set our minds on the things that are good and healthy and wholesome. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. King David said in Psalm 19, verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." I hope you too want to be acceptable to the Lord by how you speak. Words are important to God, and the words we speak may violate the will of God or they may fulfill it. And so we should think and judge our attitudes before we speak, rather than speak rashly and wish we could take back what we've said. Words reveal character. Matthew 12, 34 to 37 says that the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word, Jesus says, that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. People who speak evil must give an account for their words to God. Oh, God knows. Proverbs 13:3 says, "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." Well, how can I use my words for good to bless others? First, we can tell people the truth of the gospel of Christ. We can tell them how Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-3. The gospel of Christ is the best message anyone could ever hear. It gives hope, forgiveness, and eternal life. Nothing else compares. Christianity is indeed a unique faith, unlike any other religion. It's built upon prophecy and rooted in history. It can be attested and verified. Oh, yes. True Christianity is built upon the compassion and love of Christ and how that has blessed humanity for the last 2,000 years. Don't be fooled by groups that call themselves Christian but have no real relationship with Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Himself said in Matthew 7:21 that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The Lord knows some who claim to be faithful servants, but in reality are lawless. Jesus tells lawless people who claim to be Christians, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Matthew 7, verse 23. Instead, the Lord wants His people to lead godly lives and place their hope in heaven. When Christians live as they ought, people will wonder why. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 encourages us, But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that lies within you, yet with gentleness and fear. When people set Christ apart as Lord in their hearts, it's evident to everyone. And people will ask, Well, why do you follow Jesus? And you can give the reasons for your hope in a gentle, humble, and respectful way. An elder I knew used to encourage the congregation to speak a good word about Jesus. Oh, we can let the people around us hear what the Lord has done for us. We can rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4 and verse 4. In Mark 5, Jesus and His disciples encounter a demon-possessed man who lived a lonely, miserable, and painful life among the tombs. Jesus cast out the demons that were in him. And Mark 5, 18 to 20 reveals what Jesus wanted the demon-possessed man to do to bless others. It says, As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was pleading with him that he might accompany him. And Jesus didn't let him. But he said to him, Go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He had mercy on you. And he went away and he began to preach in the Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was marveling. Oh, every Christian who loves the Lord can tell others what great things God has done for them. David wrote in Psalm 71, verses 15 to 18, My mouth shall tell of your greatness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone, O God. You have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Oh, we too should want to tell the wonderful works of God. Second, we should teach our children and grandchildren about God. Moses said in Deuteronomy 6, 6 to 9, These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Some parents think they shouldn't influence their children's religious beliefs. But God expects parents to train their children spiritually. Ephesians 6 and verse 3 tells fathers to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Psalm 78, 5 to 8 says, For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that didn't prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. When the heart is not right, the younger generations are deprived of the truth and a godly way of life. And that is what's happened in our generation with many souls. When faith in God is lacking and children are not spiritually trained, their hearts turn from what's good to what's evil. They turn from faith to doubt, from righteousness to unrighteousness, and from kindness to selfishness. In a culture filled with spin and partisan identity, love and truth are hard to find. We should encourage others with our words. We must lift up, not tear down. We must give thanks rather than complain. We must praise rather than slander. It's better to ask questions than it is to make rash accusations. Paul urged Christians to bless others with their speech in Ephesians 4:29. He said, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for building up what is needed, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Unwholesome speech is rotten and corrupt. Isn't it better to hear what will meet the need and give grace?" In a similar passage, Paul wrote in Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Wise people think before they speak. They lift up the truth rather than tear down what is good. Wise people give hope to the hopeless. They give strength to the weak. They give light to those in darkness. And they speak of God's love to those who are unloved. Wise Christians offer friendship to the lonely and forgotten. They listen to the hurts of others and offer them the true source of healing in the grace of God. James 1:19-20 says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Anger builds a barrier between people and can end a relationship. It hurts rather than heals or helps. Sometimes we have to deal with unpleasant things and we confront serious problems. At such times, we've got to control our tongues and our attitudes even more closely. We have to be careful and watch how we speak to others. 1 Timothy 5 verses 1 and 2 urges us, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters in all purity." Words said with love and respect are always much better than words spoken in anger. Oh, it's true. People don't care who you are. They don't care what you know until they know that you care about them. When our faith is pressed by those who don't understand or approve of Christianity, let's continue and embrace our love for God. Hebrews 10:23-25 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." When people stop worshiping with the church, their faith weakens and their hope fades because they cease to be with those who love the Lord. The prophet and King David said in Psalm 40 verses 9 and 10, "I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord. You know I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I've spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation." When we confess our faith in God regularly, we hold on to it. When we stop confessing our faith, but turn our hearts to the world, we gradually lose our devotion to God. The sweetest words we can speak are expressions of love. Family members need to know that they're loved, that they're valued and appreciated. "I love you" and "thank you" should be spoken daily to those we love. I realize it's difficult for some to express their feelings, but withholding statements of love and appreciation can be cruel to those who love us. When people feel unloved, they often do unloving things. Sadly, saying that we love someone can be useless if we don't also show that love. After Peter denied the Lord three times, the Lord Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" in John 21:15-17. And Jesus knew that Peter was weak and even prayed for Peter. But Jesus still wanted to hear Peter confess his love and then to live it out. If Peter really loved him, Jesus wanted Peter to show it. And so he said, "Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep." You see, love serves others, and love values others. Let your life and your words mean something. When you have done something wrong, humble yourself and confess it, saying, "I'm sorry," and ask forgiveness, "forgive me," to God and to others that you've offended. That's only right. When others repent and apologize to you, you should say the words, "I forgive you." 1 Corinthians 13:5-7 says that love is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Maintaining our love with others is necessary if we wish to please God. 1 John 4:11 simply says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Let's love God by loving one another. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, help us to bless the people around us with the words that we speak. Help us to encourage, to lift up, to be thankful, to be willing to forgive, and to love others. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord Jesus left us an example of how to speak and behave when we're being unfairly treated by others. 1 Peter 2:21-24 says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He didn't revile in return. And while suffering, He uttered no threats, but He kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. When Jesus on the cross was being humiliated, suffering great pain, and being mocked and slandered, He didn't respond with threats or hateful speech. Jesus entrusted Himself to God, who judges righteously. We may suffer harm too, but let's entrust our souls to God. 1 Peter 4 and verse 19 says, "Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." God always wants us to do what is right. Doing what is right, that is the will of God, is vital to our salvation and relationship with God and with other faithful brothers and sisters. To get right with God, we must accept His gift of salvation according to His terms. Loving the Lord is necessary. Believing the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is essential. Repenting of our sins and confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God is required. Being baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins is also necessary according to Acts 2:38. I tell you, you can't obey the Lord on your terms. Obedience means pleasing Him. We hope that today's study about our words has helped you focus on doing God's will. If you live in the United States and want a free printed copy, send your request to In Search of the Lord's Way, Post Office Box 371, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, or send an email to searchtv@searchtv.org, or you can call the Search office toll-free at 1-800-321-8633. There's a schedule of our programs and a map of churches in your area at searchtv.org. And you can watch Search anytime on YouTube. We do ask that you subscribe to our channel, Search TV Ministry, and like the programs that you watch. We offer free Bible correspondence courses and other types of study. We're not asking for money. Well, we do say to you that you need to go to church and worship with them. And as always, we say, God loves you and we love you from all of us at In Search of the Lord's Way.